true selves come alive on this crazy ride. No place you can hide. True selves come alive on this crazy ride. No scripts, here we go. Honesty will flow. Tune in, take a seat. Can you take the heat? Joey's wit so sharp. Carrera plays her part. Together they ignite in the podcast lights.
Hello. Welcome back to In the Hot Seat with Joey
and Carrera.
And we're very excited. This is our last episode of all time, series finale, you could say.
Yeah.
This is In the Hot Seat with Joey and Carrera. And you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I've never done that.
Can you guys tell? I'm normally the one that reads the thing off.
Hey guys, hey guys, it's okay. Well, you're in the hot seat now.
I am, and I can see you're struggling.
Well, you know, I got the DJ chat up, so if anyone wants to put a question in, let me know. You could also DM or text if you want to say something during the thing that must be addressed. But I mean, just to start off, do you have anything to get off your chest? Any apologies?
Well, do you want to introduce your co-host first, or are you just not going to?
Oh, yes. So, yes, my co-host. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. I'm Yael. I am going to be the co-host for the final episode of In the Hot
Seat. So grateful for this.
Among many, many other things, I am Carrera's roommate of 4 years. So, look for us in the daily article, but we are here to put Carrera in the hot seat.
And handpicked. To be co-host.
Handpicked. Yes. To be my co-host.
So that really says something.
Yeah. Thanks.
So anyway, back to you avoiding the question. Wow. Do you have anything to get off your chest off the bat before we start asking questions?
I'm a little afraid, okay, to be quite honest, but I was thinking earlier, I was like, if we weren't the people to start this show, first of all, it wouldn't have existed.
Look that up.
But
she's getting deep.
if other people did start it, I probably would have wanted to be a guest. So even though, like, I'm a little bit afraid right now, like, I'm very excited. And I guess, like, maybe I'll have some things to answer to you today. But in general, I am not a very regretful person. I think I'm probably going to stand by a lot of my actions, or at least have explanations.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize in advance if you're brought up today, and I really hope my family is not listening.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay, well, before we start our planned segments of the show, we actually got, for the first time, a user question that was so interesting. I feel validated for asking it every single time, because low-key, it's usually a flop. The
Instagram
when it must
stories.
Be addressed, yeah, yes. Yeah. But we actually have a question from Adam the Truth.
Oh my god.
And he said, why is she evil?
What?
Do you have an answer?
Well, first of all, I don't know Adam the Truth. I don't really know this man at all. I've only heard of him through the grapevine, I guess. Couldn't place him on a map. Couldn't place him in a large photo. Even in a small photo with maybe 3 other people. Could not place him. I don't think I'm evil. I don't think I've done evil things. That's crazy. If he wants to DM me and talk with me about what I've done, that would be great. I
drop your
at. I'm at Carrera. If you can spell my name, you can find it. dot J on Instagram. I would love to hear, but I don't think I'm evil. I think I'm a pretty kind-hearted person.
Adam, if you're listening, feel free to DM or yeah. DM. Write in the,
that's
the
so
DJ
funny.
Chat,
yeah.
When that popped up, I literally could not
Why
start laughing.
Because
where did that come from?
I don't know what Adam the Truth has against you, but I would like to know.
I would love to know too.
Yeah. So, Adam, the truth, please step forward if you have something say to
your
say.
Own. Yeah, get it off your chest. Well, I guess kind of before we hop in the show, there are some praises to go around, including happy 22nd birthday.
Today
is Carrera's 22nd, her 23rd rotation around the sun. And I guess, yeah, because you start at zero.
And very mindful, very mindful.
I don't know. Do you have any plans for tonight? Are you throwing a party?
Yeah, I'm just having I'm having a birthday makeup party.
Oh, wait. So wait, what's the dress code?
It's birthday makeup.
Oh, what does that mean?
You know, okay, so like, you know, in high school, I don't know if this was at every high school, but at a lot of high schools, like girls would come in like a full glam, full beat on their birthday. It would be like full foundation. It would be very like 2016, like matte look with like a full sunset crease eye. And I used to kind of like love to play around with makeup in middle school. I low-key did like birthday makeup all the time in the safety of my bathroom. And so I wanted this to be a birthday makeup birthday party to just sort of commemorate my my lore. And I really, it's been on our bucket list for a while. And I think it's only perfect that it's me because I'm a makeup baddie.
And you're like requiring everyone to come in birthday makeup.
Well, they don't like have to. I'm saying on the particle, it does say like you to enter, you must at least attempt birthday makeup. You don't have to, if you're like uncomfortable with that, with your gender expression, it is totally okay to kind of like do it to your own comfort level.
Wake it up.
But I would say that like it is for a birthday and it's not something that you have to do for very long. And it's something just like fun to play around with, even if that's not normally what you would do. So it's just fun to see what people are going to come up with.
Do you think that women need makeup to feel beautiful?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. But you're requiring it today.
I'm requiring it today because it's a fun theme. And I don't think, honestly, most people are going to look beautiful tonight because the makeup is sort of cakey.
Carrera wants people to look chopped.
I'm going to look gorgeous and everyone else will look a little chopped and I'm going to take lots of photos.
Well,
of people.
We did hear you say that you used to play around with this makeup a lot in middle school. I'm kind of wondering, so makeups of the face, did you have any kind of other accessories, whether it be clothes, hair, that accompanied it of the time that you would like to kind of shout out?
I guess
as
I feel like what
school.
You're probably referring to is the fact that I used to have a very glorious and deep undercut middle school and high school. I honestly had it for probably 4 to 5 years. The reasoning behind why I got it is because I have very thick hair and my hair was shorter at the time. And I was just really tired of dealing with it. So I was like, let me just shave the back of this off. And then I had it for like a really long time because it was sort of convenient.
Yeah, totally.
I'm an undercut girl.
I mean, people would say that an undercut is possibly the gayest haircut someone could
have.
Yeah,
maybe, yeah.
Did anything ever like come out of that like positively? Did you ever like attract other gay people in high school?
Oh my God. Did I attract other gay people in high school? Yeah, I mean, I had a girlfriend in high school for 4 years.
Okay.
We dated up until the start of sophomore year here at Tufts. But I don't think it was the undercut's fault. I think it was my beautiful face, body,
birthday
and personality.
The birthday makeup.
So you said you dated her for 4 years?
Yes, yeah.
And she was from your, she went to your high school?
Yeah, she went to my high school. Nice. I open enrolled, so we didn't live in the same town. But she lived right by the high school, and we dated from sophomore year of high school to sophomore year, beginning of sophomore year at Tufts.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Would you, did she, like, come over a lot, or did you hang out?
Oh, my God. well, like, I would say we were medium distance, and really not that far distance, to be quite honest. She went to UMass Boston, and we would hang out, like, every so often, but honestly, like, the 1 year that we were together at Tufts was, like, not great, and we wouldn't see each other super often, and if it was, it would be, like, for a couple hours, for being, like, 40 minutes away from each other, we didn't, I would say it was a little difficult to see each other.
And, like, what were the people around you's, like, opinion, like, how did your parents feel about her?
I'm dead. Well, my parents did not know that we were dating.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is okay, and I think that like
very
my
mindful, yes.
my very journey mindful. Is my journey. All my friends knew.
Okay.
Everyone at the school knew. Like we were not like hiding it at all at the school. But my parents did not know. My brother knows. But my parents still do not know. But she was over at our house all the time. Like she basically lived there for well not lived there but spent a lot of time. at my house. So my parents, like, kind of did treat her as, like, another daughter. Like, they, you know, bought her nice things, and she was around a lot, and they really liked her.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What did your therapist think of her?
I'm dead. my therapist also did not know.
Oh, why didn't your therapist know?
Honestly, because I was afraid that, like, she would... I know that this is, like, illegal, but, like, that she would tell my parents, or... I honestly just didn't really like talking about it with adults, because it felt kind of like if I talked about it with her, then it was sort of like a step towards talking to my parents about it, and... It felt kind of uncomfortable for me to do that. And I think I would have told her, except around the same time that, like, Emma, that's her name, that we started dating, I had, like, a really terrible falling out with, like, my best friend at the time. So in therapy for, like, the next couple months, like, that's what I was talking about. And, like, it never really felt like the time to be like, oh, I'm, like, sort of, like, started seeing someone. And then it kind of got too late. And then I was like, oh, shit.
Too late in the 4 years.
Too late. Well, yeah, it was kind of like, then I was like, oh, like, it's kind of weird now for me to just suddenly bring it up. And I honestly was pretty uncomfortable talking about my, like, queerness to adults. Or just sort of in general to, like, my other not gay people. Mm-hmm. Like, all my friends were pretty gay, so it was, like, chill. But, yeah, so she did not know also. But, yeah, also, I mean, a big reason I didn't tell the adults is because it sort of just felt like I dug myself a hole, because we also started dating when I was like 14 years old, and then it's like, it's at the age where, like, you don't really tell your parents a lot about your life, like, you don't think it's gonna be that serious, like, you're going to the movie my mom drove me to our first date at the movie theater, like, it's kind of odd. But then it was like, I was 16 and I was like, well, I can't tell her now that we've been together for two years. Like, that's crazy. And then I was 18 and I was like, well, guess it's, and then once it got to, like, later, I was like, we're probably gonna break up, so there's no point now. That's
so
sort of my thought process.
You foresaw the breakup, you feel like, when you came to college?
Well, not when I came to college. When we got here, I was, like, very determined and really thought that we were gonna stay together. Like, we were very much in love. But then as, like, I grew freshman year and I started, like, being able to sort of see myself as an individual person and not as a very codependent pair, I started to realize, like, maybe this is not working out. And then from there, I was kind of like, we're probably going to break up sometime.
On October 4th.
I think it was the 3rd.
Oh, was it the 3rd?
2023.
Well, October 3rd, 2023.
That was a Tuesday or a Wednesday?
Yeah, something along that. But then
I guess it was probably a Wednesday. I remember I had dinner with Benicio. Shout out Benicio. Right before going over to her apartment. And right before I went over to her apartment, Benicio was like, Ferrer, this is your year. Things are really looking up for you. And then that night we broke up. But maybe it still was my year, honestly.
Well, because 3 days later.
2 days later.
Oh, it was 2 days later.
So it was October 4th.
Yeah, because it was October 6th that... Okay, we had a run-in with with your first man ever.
That's true, yeah.
Do you want to say this man's name?
Do you want to shout out the first man you ever kissed? Or?
I guess. I mean, he knows. And I feel like most people probably know also who are listening right now.
Totally don't need to. We can do initials.
It's fully up to you.
I was at his birthday party last night, actually. So
it was.
So it's one of two people.
It's one of two. The other one is gay. So
that other one is, like, gay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Roddy Atwood, if you're listening.
Okay, we got to it. Good for you.
Thank you.
So yeah, you just mentioned that you wanted to find yourself as your own person, but then you immediately ran into the arms of a man.
I did not run. No. I was accosted.
From a four-year... Accosted.
I was accosted.
Oh, okay.
Where did this happen?
This happened in an ATO basement.
Okay.
Care
to share?
It was the A versus B soccer game.
Very consequential
Very
night.
Consequential night. It was 2 days post-breakup. One day post-breakup, literally felt like a ghost walking around the entire next day. Like, I don't think I got any sleep. I was, like, I couldn't even cry because I just felt... really awful. The next day I was like, okay, first Friday night single, like, I remember I talked with Mia a lot, and I was like literally the whole night I was like, I'm gonna find somebody. Like, I kept just repeating that because I was like, it's my first party, first weekend affirmation, like, single, like, let's go see what's out there, let's go see what other cookie is like. And then it was A versus B, and we were like having fun at the game, and then we went to like the like Club Lax party or like a soccer party, and then that was a bus. So then we went to ATO. We went to ATO basement, and I was with Mia and a couple of the people, I think like maybe Soph, maybe like Nick, some other people. And I'm upstairs, and I'm friends with Evan. Hi, Evan. And I see him, and I'm like, oh my God, we're going downstairs. Like, everyone, let's go downstairs. And this also is my take on things. If other people have a...
No, it's your truth.
It's my truth. If other people have another idea of what happened, that's totally fine. This is my recollection of things. And I'm like, oh my God, Evan, we're going to the basement. Let's go, like, everyone go down. Me and Mia go down. We're, like, dancing. I kid you not, maybe 30 seconds later. 30 seconds later, this man, Roddy.
Akas.
But, I mean, obviously I was consenting. Comes up to me and starts dancing with me. And literally, I will say, like, 30 seconds after me getting in the basement. And then starts dancing with me. And then we end up kissing. But it was very much, like, boom, boom, boom. Like, mm-hmm. I get down to the basement. Immediately, I'm taken away.
Do you think he had, like, had his eye on you? Why do you think he came to you so fast?
I don't know. I will say I don't know. I mean, I had talked to Evan the day, and they're very good friends, and I talked to Evan the day before, and I was like, me and my girlfriend just broke up. Mm. And I was obviously not in a good mood, and he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. So, like, maybe he had mentioned to Roddy, or maybe Roddy had said, like, oh, like, whatever, like, and then he's like, oh, she's single. You know, like, something like mm-hmm. that. But I don't think it was, like, I mean, again, this is my... My thoughts, my truth. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know. Because, I mean, also, I don't think a lot of people even, like, fully knew. I mean, maybe word spread very quickly, but, like, it was 2 days later.
It was two days later.
Like, I don't know how many people knew.
Your relationship 2 days later.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you guys are going to bring this up, but I can dig myself into a hole.
Please, here's the shovel.
The next Wednesday, so a week after we broke up, my ex and I met in the Boston Common because she needed to talk to me, and I was like, okay, sure. And she asked me in that moment, she was like, have you hooked up with anybody, like, in the, well, because she was like, she was having a hard time, and she was like, did you leave me for someone? And I was like, no, lol, no, I didn't. And then she was like, well, have you hooked up with anybody in the, like, the following days? And I had asked, I think I talked to Yael before, I talked to some other friends before, and I was like, if she asked me this, like, what am I supposed to say? And you guys said, no, tell her no, like, it will, like, kill her. Mm-hmm. Do not mm-hmm. tell her that. So then when she asked me, I said no. And she said, are you lying? And I said no. Mm. And I still stand by that. I don't think that, like, it would have been good for her for me to say yes. And also, it wasn't like I had my eye on anybody and then, like, that, like, then it, I made it happen. It was, like, really kind of a accident.
Mm-hmm. Cookie found you.
Cookie found me. Like, mm-hmm. sorry.
But did you get attached to the cookie?
Yeah.
Because we have word that...
Word.
Someone, I mean, we're not going to say any names, suggested that you show up to his house.
No, Yael said that. Okay, Yael told me to do that. And that is her wrongdoing. I would never do that.
So you don't think that people should show up
to... I don't think they should do that. Never show up to somebody's house dressed as a present.
To be clear, I suggested she dress up as a present with nothing underneath the ribbon. Just red it was
like
wrapping.
Honestly, you were being pretty serious, and I was like, Yael, that's the worst idea I've ever heard in my entire life. But you were like, you should actually just go. And I was like, no.
It was Halloween. Night one. So we're maybe 3 weeks into this.
Yeah.
Kind of, I would say, pretty intense from the outside. I don't know. Do you want to, like, share a little bit what that kind of 3 week relationship, if you could call it that, was
definitely not relationship.
In the broad sense of the term.
It was like, I don't remember, like, how many, maybe I told them like 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. Three to five. It could have been out that many. But it felt like pretty intense, at least for mm-hmm. me, especially because I was fresh off of a breakup.
Yeah.
I had never, like, done anything with anybody except for my ex before mm-hmm. and also a guy, so that was, like, really interesting for me to, like, parse through. And I was very again used to being in a pretty codependent relationship mm-hmm. and also a relationship where, like, we talked about everything, like, texted all the time, and going from that to, like, nothing was very, very, very weird for me. And I don't think I was a freak about it, but in my head, I was a freak.
Like, there's a lot of rumination.
A lot of rumination. Yael knows that every time I take out my journal, it's a bad sign. Because if I need to write things down, they're probably not good things. Mm-hmm. And I was writing my journal probably every single night. I was like freaking out. I was freaking out because I was like, I knew it. Like, I mean, I wasn't like, oh my God, we're going to start dating, like whatever. But I still was just like, oh my God, what is happening?
Well, to go from texting multiple hours a day to, I remember the like drafting and redrafting of texts and counting hours between. Very normal. Very normal sophomore year. Very normal now. Very normal post breakup. But there was just kind of the severing of communication, I would say, was a pretty big
shock
to the system.
Would you say, that the cuddle parties that occur would be normal? What are your thoughts on cuddle parties?
Really bad at Yeah, okay, go ahead.
You're upset with Joey's transition.
I would say that Joey has no idea what he's talking about.
Well, we just have to speed it up a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, okay, okay. So...
Okay, I will.
Yeah, tell us about
cuddling. Okay, so basically, things ended between me and this man in a way that was totally fine. But I was obviously upset just because of, like, my very distressed sort of emotional state at the time. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I don't, like, it's sort of weird to say now, but, like, it was just weird from the point when it ended. Like, things would still happen. Like, he would still interact with me in, like, a really odd way. Like, he would like my stories all the time. He would, like, come up to me at parties and like dance with me. So things were just sort of weird. Mm-hmm. And one of the weird things that occurred after was that I was hanging out with Evan again, who I was like close friends with at the time, and they were roommates. And
roommates.
Yeah, they were roommates. And
we'll circle back
to that. Yeah, we'll circle back to that. They were roommates. I was hanging out with Evan, and then like Friday comes back, and then like Maya Fernando. Hi Maya. I was friends with her at the time. We were marriage packs freshman year, actually. And she comes in, so we're all talking. And then, like, she's sitting on Evan's bed. Then Evan's like, oh, I have to leave. And so he leaves. But I'm still hanging out with Maya. Like, we're still talking. And then eventually I was like, oh, we should probably go. And then I eventually start... I think when Evan was still there, I started sitting on the bed with her because, like, it was just weird, like, angle-wise talking to people. And then eventually she, like, starts laying down. And I was kind of like, oh, like, I don't... Like, I just was like, okay, whatever, she's like, no, that's fine. And then she was like, and Evan had left, so it was just me, her, and Roddy in the room. And she was like, I feel like we should all cuddle. Okay. She's like, I feel like we should all cuddle right now. And I was like, well, I didn't say anything because I was just sort of uncomfortable. But then it happened where for probably a minute or so, we were all sort of laying in sort of sadly Evan's bed together. Mm-hmm. And then he got up. I was kind of like, ooh, I kind of got to get out of here. I also was, I had a Welch's fruit snack.
Sure.
So I was sort of in an odd state mindset. And then it happened again where it was maybe a half an hour later. She was like, we should cuddle again. And I was like, mm-hmm.
So
my God, I got to get out of here.
It sounds like there's a recurring theme of cuddling, maybe touching up on, not sexually, but...
Yeah, it was
people
weird.
In the suite. I don't know. I mean, I would say you've kind of mentioned this one name often, Evan.
Okay.
And I guess I'm just curious. I don't know, like, speaking of cuddling, touching up on Evan Gattel, like, do you want to speak a little bit about your relationship with
you
Evan?
First name, last name, Tim.
Sorry. Sophomore year.
Okay.
How kind of your relationship was together. Just want to speak on that a little bit.
We were, like, good friends. Like, Kim was also very good friends with
and
him.
Maybe
so,
quickly.
Like, yeah, he was over in the suite a lot. Good friends. He had a girlfriend, Luca, who they're not dating anymore, but, like, I knew her and I liked her and we still follow each other on Instagram. And, but he would just like sort of, we would sort of just dance.
Would you say freak on each other?
A little, maybe a little bit.
Do you think that's problematic knowing that he had a girlfriend?
Well, I it was always at parties and I was not like, not to say that this like makes things any better.
It was sometimes
better.
In the
So are you
suite.
Saying it wasn't consensual?
No, that one time we had a very emotional conversation and he was comforting me and I don't think that was that weird.
There was falling asleep on each other on
what
the
couch.
What
about the questionable dancing, the cuddling, the photo shoots?
Photo shoots.
No, just... Nah.
Just in general, just questionable behavior.
Yes, I do think there was questionable behavior. I did not recognize that there was questionable behavior because it often happened, mostly happened when I was at a party having fun. Mm-hmm. And I also was like, he's the one who has a girlfriend. It's like, it's his boundary. It's not my boundary. And also, like, it was fully platonic and not...
I wouldn't say from an outside perspective.
If you found
maybe
out...
Maybe not from an outside perspective, but from my perspective, I was like,
would she call it platonic?
I mean, she wasn't there, so I don't know.
If you were in the girlfriend Luca's situation...
Shoes. Would you have an issue
I probably would have, yes. Wow. But I didn't... I just thought that, like, they had a different kind of relationship,
you didn't think
honestly.
About sending a Hey Mama's text?
No. Well, it also just wasn't girly. Me. There were many other people that, like... I mean, they would just, like, with their friends... Like, if you would see, like... that friend
how
group at a party.
Yeah,
like,
they're
they
always
would
touching
obviously
up on each other.
Famously, on each other.
There was,
famously
this is going
still
back a little bit, but
like
there
that.
Was a skinny dipping incident
oh my God, yeah.
with
skinny
that dip. Friend group. But
yes, there was. Yeah.
We're speaking about parties. We would dance up on each other. I guess I'm curious if there was one specific party of the year that
you could say a burlesque party.
Right? Okay, moving on along. That you and this man dance up each other.
So this was like at the very end of the semester, and I had like kind of
sophomore fall,
and I had kind of like distanced myself in a way because I was feeling I had conversations with like Yael, and she was like, wait, this is weird, and I was like, wait, you're right. Like, I actually fully didn't recognize that it
was
weird. I was in a haze. Things were wrong in my life. And I didn't recognize it. And then I was kind of like, ooh, this is weird. Then, like, I had to deal with, like, other things. And so I was, like, kind of taking a step back from my friendship with him at the time. And then I was in burlesque. And I did burlesque completely alone. I didn't know a lot of people. We were at the after party. And really, the only people I knew there that I was, like, friends with were, like, Evan and his friend group. And so I was like, I guess I'm hanging out with them because I don't know anybody else here that well. If you've been to an after party, especially your first after party, things get a little cray. Like, people, you don't remember a lot the next day.
It's the cookie platter.
And, like, especially for your first one, like, it's just there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people in one room. I was sort of uncomfortable. And I also couldn't pregame. I don't know if I can really say that. I couldn't pregame. So I was like, oh, once I get to the party, I'm going to catch up. That was a bad idea. I ended up like having too much. And so I couldn't really remember what happened the next morning after maybe like a half an hour.
Did people
being there.
Supplement stories?
Yeah. So Talia Tepper, love you, but I had beef with you because.
Oh, sorry. Wait, we're getting feedback from the audience. Oh. Evan was in an open relationship at the time.
Is that true?
That's what we're being told by
whom?
Collected habitant.
Who's that?
I'm dead.
Is that King?
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
We didn't. That was not made clear to.
It was not made clear. And also, like, even if he was, like, that's. I mean, that's why I was like, okay,
the
this
cookie
is.
Could have been eight. Like,
no. Oh, sometimes the cookie.
Sorry.
Sometimes the cookie doesn't nod
nimble.
To me.
Sometimes the people want to nibble.
It's fine. It's fine. Thought it was odd, even if. He was just because we were
there was no communication.
Friends. There was no communication. I had a thing with his roommate, and that was had also ended in a very odd way. So I was just like, all these things are odd and weird. Basically, burlesque happened. The next day, I'm sitting at a table in the CC. Alec comes up to me, and he was like, have you talked to Evan? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, you know... he's like, you know, because of what happened last night. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, I don't know if I want to say explicitly what he said.
No, you can dance around it.
But he basically said that we, like, freaked on each other.
You can nuzzle around
nuzzle, yeah.
Known to be a freak.
Yeah.
Famously.
No actual
nothing
kissing.
Sorry. Crazy gift just got sent in the chat.
So Talia Tepper
So basically,
started.
Basically, I mean, yeah, So basically, Talia had gone up to Alec, like Sanaa, like a couple other people, like a table of people I'm friends with, but like not that close friends with, where you should be like talking about my business in a way that in a very sort of rumor mill-esque way.
Famously, the rumor mill is gonna churn.
The rumor mill did churn, and it did. And she basically said that like she wasn't even at the after party, mind I say she was not there, and said that we had been. It's just such a like a strange phrase. You can say it if you want. I just don't want to say what she said we were doing.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Should I?
Yeah.
She said you were kissing up on each other's necks.
Yes. Specifically the neck, not
kissing
any...
Kissing on each other's necks.
Yeah, no mouth-on-mouth action.
Mouth-on-neck action.
Only mouth-on-neck action. And she said that that's what we were doing at the after party. And I...
Do you want to say your piece on it once and for all?
My piece on it once and for all is I cannot remember what happened that night. And when Alex said that to me, I had a panic attack because it was the first time in my life when I couldn't remember something that had happened. And I thought that, like, if something had happened, I would have remembered it. But I was like, I can't say for, like, 100% fact that it didn't happen. But I don't think it happened. I don't think that I would do that. I know for a fact I wouldn't do that. And I don't think that he would have done that either, even though there was, like, a weird sort of relationship thing happening. Like, I don't think that he would have done that either. And then the rumor mill started churning and started churning. I didn't really want to have to deal with it. Eventually, Evan hears about it. We had a sit-down conversation, breakfast at DeWick. And we talked about it, and I was like, I've just been freaking out because I don't know what happened. And he was like, it didn't happen. So, hashtag I stand with Evan.
Women.
Well, and women. And women. Always. And I don't think it happened. I think maybe people thought that something happened. Maybe, like, they
People wanted to think something had happened.
Yeah. Maybe they saw us dancing. Like, we were all dancing together. Like, I remember dancing with, like, Sophie. I remember dancing with, like, you know, other people. Like, we were dancing closely because we were in the nail wall basement, and that basement's really, really tiny. And so, like, maybe we were dancing close together, but it didn't happen, and I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't, like, we, like, no, like, that did not happen, and it made me very uncomfortable that people were saying that about me.
Well, with 2 years of progressing your relationship, if the opportunity was presented to you today... Would the cookie be nibbled? I mean, it's senior year.
He has a girlfriend, I think.
Well, you never know if it's open, girl.
I guess we just heard of open relationships today. If you give a mouse a cookie.
Sometimes you want to take a bite.
And with that, we'll transition to a
PSA.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you. Pick your favorite PSA if he is listening
and or his friends are listening, because I think they probably are.
They were talking about my episode last
time.
They were not stopping about it.
And I'm sorry that you're being brought up so much. Sorry about that.
Well, we'll move on quickly to someone else afterwards.
Yeah. We're going to stay in sophomore year.
This one's good.
Let's get to it.
Firearm safety PSA. Four rules of gun safety. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, so it's not even rule one, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule two, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot, okay? Rule three, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. And I will add, you shouldn't buy a gun or have it on you ever. This has been a public safety message from WMFO at Medford in Medford Tufts Educational Radio.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much for the PSA. So continuing your sophomore year.
Yeah.
Speeding on along.
We're going to do a quick speed run of the other
white leathers.
Other fun moments that you had.
Yes. And I again will say I was in a I don't regret.
There's nothing wrong with this.
I don't regret really anything that happened because I was dealing with a lot of things, and I think people are allowed to do whatever they want with themselves and their time and their minds and their bodies.
Yes, of course.
I think that there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong. Of course. And speaking of roommates.
Evan and Roddy famously were roommates.
You also had a situation with two other roommates.
I did, yeah.
So Jake and Eli.
No. I didn't need you to say their names.
Nope. So, do we want to just?
I didn't need you to do that.
Do you want to share other people you might have gotten with?
I don't know.
Sophomore year.
No, I don't really want to make a list right now for people.
We're good. We can skip right on. So. We'll transition into junior year.
Okay, we move right past that.
Well, actually, we'll go back to sophomore year real quick.
Okay.
So you did rush ATO twice, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I did.
What are your thoughts on ATO as someone who never got in?
I will say that, I mean, I do think it was my fault I didn't get in. I think I was pretty bad in the interviews. I made it to the interviews twice. I floundered. Had no idea what to say in those moments. So it was my fault, but honestly, like objectively, I'm very glad that I'm not in it. Like, I didn't need to be a part of that. I think that, like, the people who are in it and that, like it a lot, that's awesome. And it's, like, a really great social outlet if you want it or need it. I'm happy I'm not in it because I don't need it. And it's fun sometimes to go to their parties sometimes. And that's really it. And so it's fine. I guess it's fine.
Mm-hmm. All for the better, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you still seemed like you wanted another shot at it, because then junior year, you didn't rush ATO, but you secretly lied to your roommates, secretly rushed the Ivy.
I didn't rush it. I went to one event.
And the secrecy of it all?
I was sort of like, it felt like something people were going to tell me not to do. And people were going to maybe like, not make fun of me, but like be like, why are you doing that? And honestly, I just kind of wanted the opportunity to like, see if it would it was something that I would be interested in on my own. And then I went to like two of the events, and like I knew some other people that were doing it, so like I went with them. And then after it, I was kind of like, this is not something that I really want to do.
Was that for you?
But yeah, like I felt sort of like, not like ashamed, but I just didn't really feel the need to like tell people about it. And yeah, like it was secretly, and maybe I like, I don't know if I like lied explicitly, but I didn't bring it up. And I don't really, like, I wouldn't do that now, but at the time, I just didn't really feel the need to, like, talk to anybody about it, especially because I didn't end up doing it. And I'm glad I didn't do that either. I think I was just really trying to, like, see if I, if there was a place for me that I hadn't discovered yet, and the answer was no.
The answer was within yourself.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Nice.
It's beautiful. Moving on, you famously are the head
director, leader, the director. I like to make it kind of directrice.
Yeah.
Feminine. the directress of the burlesque board.
Yeah.
What is that experience like just overall?
How's it been? You've put a lot of work into the shows.
I have put a lot of work into the shows. I love it. I like being in charge. I like being in charge of something that I really enjoy. And I think I was really good at it. I think I had everything together. I've had a really great time this semester doing it. I did a lot of work this semester, so it was like a huge, you know, energy expenditure, but I have had a great time.
You killed the shows. We recently had our burlesque shows. It was awesome, a great weekend. On the Thursday dress rehearsal, you and one of your co-board members led the ASAP training.
Yes, we did.
Do you care to share what the ASAP training is?
ASAP training is very important, and if you're in burlesque, you need to go to before the dress rehearsal. ASAP training is usually done by an ASAP person, which is like the sexual assault prevention group at Tufts, and they just go through a whole presentation about the after party, sort of famously about consent, about power dynamics, about people making sure that they're safe. Things like that, just to make sure. And the four D's: delegate, direct, delegate, distract,
delay.
Yeah,
I'll supplement that one.
Yeah,
for
that
you.
One's I think the hardest one, because it's like, what am I delaying?
The inevitable.
Like, really. So yeah, it's just important to just talk about like if you see something bad going on, or like just to be mindful.
Mm-hmm. And there's a major discussion about power dynamics.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Can you describe what the power dynamics?
Well, I think that there are power dynamics in play. Mm-hmm. I will say that there are circumstances where they're not.
Please describe those too.
Okay. I think that, let's say you're a senior and you're a choreo of a dance, and there's someone in your dance that you don't know at all, or like a freshman, or like someone who has never done burlesque before, sophomore, like, and especially if it's like, it's been thought about a lot, you're like, ooh, that person in my dance is cute. Like, I want them, like, let's make sure, like, at the after party, like, I'm hanging around them. And then there's that power dynamic, especially it's been ruminated on. They are new to the group. They might not, especially if you don't know a lot of people in the group. Like, again, like, my first burlesque after party, didn't know a lot of people. And it's kind of a scary environment if you don't have, like, other people to go with. And so that is definitely, like, in a situation where, like, there are power dynamics. I would say, like, yes, being on board, there's a power dynamic, but also people, like, don't.
What
really
about being
care
the
about
director.
Yeah.
It is explicitly stated, I'm pretty
the
sure.
ASAP
in the PowerPoint there was explicitly like,
and I read out that slide.
Choreos shouldn't get with dancers, and then
no, we said they shouldn't. It was be what mindful. What do you do?
If a board member gets with
No, the question is that I read out, and I did laugh while I was reading out also.
Oh, we were aware.
Yeah.
Because why might you have laughed?
Well, because I'm a human being with goals and needs.
Yeah, premeditations.
No premeditations.
No premeditations. Nope. Okay. Sorry, what was the the slide you read out?
It was, if you see a board member grinding up on another dancer, what would you do? And honestly, I will say, being in the crowd for this question and also like leading the question, most of the time everyone's answer is, well, if they seem like two consenting people, like there's nothing really.
You don't engage the 4Ds in that situation?
I just think that especially if they're two adults who like they like there's no weird actual power dynamic if they like knew each other before or like were, you know, like they're at the same, they're in the same year, like there's not like a weird like,
but everyone at the after party is supposed to know all that information.
Well, no, but it's like, I think that if you're getting with someone and they are like, oh my god, you're the director, and you use it as like an excuse of getting with someone, I think that like all the board members, like we put in a lot of work and we are people, and
you deserve some cookies.
And we deserve a little bit of fun, but also like nobody should use that to their advantage. But I will say that, like, I remember my first semester on board. I think my first two semesters on board, I was at the after party, and people were like, oh my god, what dance were you in? And I was like, okay, these people have no way. Even when I choreographed a dance, people were like, what dance were you in? Like, people don't always have, like, a recognition of who the other people are. And, yeah, sometimes there is. Especially with me being the director, like, yes, like, people knew who I was, but I did not and would not ever use that to, like, get with somebody.
What are the rules or more precautions for if a director was in a makeout circle?
Well, first of all, I will say that that was not my doing.
Okay.
Did you want to share what, just like vaguely, what how the makeout circle started?
Well, yeah, Elle, you were also in it, so I will say that
I am not a board member nor a choreo.
No, and I think that I'm again. No,
girl. She joined in on purpose.
But I will say that Yael and I did not kiss each other because we would not do that. I
do not touch my friends.
I do not touch my friends.
We do not touch our friends.
And
unlike some people,
I guess people
who, right.
Right. Okay. So, I was very demurely, I shall say, kissing somebody at the after party, and we were in sort of a corner.
A dancer in your dance.
But I will say that, like, we have known each other for a long time. There's no power dynamic there at all, that I know of, at least, hopefully.
Honestly, it's par for par. There was similarities throughout the night.
There were.
Just a lot of
things.
Spectres, yeah.
So we were very, very demurely in the corner, not making a scene. As we were kissing, I get a tap on my shoulder. Brightest smile I've ever seen in my entire life.
100 watts.
Face lit up of...
just anybody, someone.
Someone. And she was like, do you think I can get in on this? And it was sort of odd to me. Yes, I was... had been like having a lot of like water and like other things in the night, but even in that moment I was kind of like, huh, it's kind of odd. And so then I turned to the person who was already with, and I sort of, I delegated in that moment.
Oh, so now it's time for the 4Ds.
Now it's time for the 4Ds. Okay. And I turned before. To her and I was like, what do you want to do? And she was like, six, seven. And then that's how it started, and then from there it just sort of like kept going, and then like other people like that I am friends with also like pointed at me and were like, ah, like, can I join? And I was like, I guess so. Cause then at that point it was just sort of like silly. I think the more people that join, the like less serious it gets.
Totally. But then it reaches another point when then it's really serious. Cause it's like a 10 person.
Yeah. But then at that
point, but we didn't,
but
get
that, it didn't get to that point. I will say that there's nothing in the ASAP presentation about makeout circles.
Do you think it should be added next semester?
No. I think if people are doing a makeout circle, it's their choice. Decided to join the large amount of people that were already kissing up on each other.
They were kissing up on each other. Well, I guess I want to go back a little bit to one of your first burlesque after parties.
Yeah.
This is recent. You're a senior spring director. But what of the time you were a mere dancer, a sophomore? And did you? Was there someone specific you got with?
Sophomore spring, I was a dancer, and this other girl,
long gone.
She's graduated from here. Her name was Jossie. We were in the same dance, and I had like not again like really thought about it. Whatever. Sort of a similar situation I was mentioning before. Got to the after party, then sort of quickly accosted.
Another accosting. You are getting accosted left and right. Do you think it's something about you? Do you think it's something about the people? You're beautiful. Okay, beautiful.
And I will say, it's maybe it's not like accosting, but it was kind of like, oh, Okay, I guess it this is now happening. Like, I didn't really do anything to prompt
Mouse
it.
Mouse comes to cookie.
Mouse came to cookie. And yeah, so I like got with her sophomore spring at the after party. And then we like had a kind of a weird thing over the that semester and then the summer and then junior fall.
Now, I don't remember. I'm just thinking through if it was this time or another time, but I recall you after a night spent together, walked together to a dining facility, went to Hodge, perhaps.
Yeah.
Dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
Could you just share that experience?
It was after the first time. So basically, I went to the burlesque after party just in my like outfit, just in the lingerie I was wearing because it was warm outside and I like lived sort of close to where the after party was. And I was like, it's night. It was like 11 p.m., whatever. I was like, nobody's out. So then when we left together and I went to her house, and I will say this, most of this hot seat is about my sexual relationships. And I will say again, there, I don't think there's anything wrong with
no,
it.
No shame.
Just no shame. Just a moment to share.
Yeah. A moment to share. So then the next morning I had no clothes. I had nothing to go home in. And so then I was like, okay, can I borrow something? And she was like, sure. I go home in probably the ugliest outfit I've ever worn in my entire life. She was like mask.
She was Hey Mama.
She was kind of Hey Mama.
She was Hey Mama.
She was kind of Hey Mama. And
just note
so
that as a potential type.
Yeah. And she let me borrow a pair of black joggers and a black band t-shirt. And I literally in that moment I put it on. I was like, there's nothing else you could give me. I think I was like kind of mean about it in the moment. I was like, seriously? And she was like, this is fine. I wear this outfit all the time. I was like, okay. And then she was like, I lived in Haskell. She was going to Hodge. So she like, we walked together. And that walk, I'm so glad I did, honestly, not alone, because I just looked so disheveled that I'm glad that I had some company on my way.
I feel like there was more company along the way. Well, did you run into someone?
She was on the club basketball team, and she ran into one of the... She was a freshman. I was a sophomore. The girl we ran into was a freshman. And she was also on the club basketball team, and they stopped and had, like, maybe a 2 to 3 minute conversation, and I was just still sort of, like, standing there. And the girl I also knew from being, I used to be the Society of Women Engineers treasurer.
And how much did you do for that
role? Oh, not a lot. I hated it. Hated every moment of it. Sorry to this girl. We have classes together. We don't really speak to each other.
Do you think she remembers this run-in?
I don't know. But I knew her and we didn't really like kind of address each other. But it honestly was maybe one of the last people I wanted to see in that moment because I don't think she liked me that much because I wasn't very good at my job.
Because you didn't do your job, yeah.
And the thing is, like, I could do the job. I just really didn't want to do the job. Like, I'm capable.
Just unwilling.
Unwilling because it was terrible. And basically, we ran into each other and I was like, oh, my God. And then she was like, and then after the girl left, Jossie was like, she was like, oh, my God, that's one of my babies on the club basketball team. And I was like, yeah, I know her because she's my assistant treasurer in the Society of Women Engineers. She might like remember this interaction. I don't know if she like thought a lot about it though. It's very brief.
A brief passing by.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess just to wrap up this burlesque section.
Yeah.
Do you want to recount just number how many burlesque after parties have you been to?
Two sophomore year, one junior year, two this year. So that's five.
And how many out of those five did you end the night in tears at? Or at some point, were there tears involved?
Three. Wow.
That is a high ratio.
It's the fall semester burlesque after party. It's every single fall semester burlesque after party. Either at the party. No. Yeah. Either at the party or after the party, I have sobbed.
Mm.
I mean, it's a lot to do burlesque. It's just a releasing of emotions
at
the fall.
It is. Yeah.
Well, we have to say, even though this is the hot seat, we must give the birthday girl her flowers. Aww. You killed it, not only as choreo, but as director, as dancer,
directress.
Maybe a subverter of the 4Ds.
Cookie Monster.
Monster. We just want to give you your flowers as director of burlesque.
Yeah. And before we get into a few general questions, you've been known to surround yourself with gay men.
That is true.
People could call you the twink handler.
Yes, I've been called that, yeah.
What What does that mean to you?
It just means that sometimes my gay male friends are acting a fool, don't really know how to handle themselves, or just in other situations, I help them out with, like, their needs. I mean, not that's in a weird way, but, like, I mean, like, I just mean, like, if they, like, are going through a time, they'll be, like, they'll talk to me and I'll help them, like, deal with something, or if they're, like, out and, like, need to leave, like, I'm the one to do that. Like, I help take care of them.
I see. And just so we know, these questions were not written by me, but someone, who wrote this in the doc? I don't know. But someone wrote, Joey, in reference to me, how do you handle trying to break up or get involved with the fights that I partake in?
And how does that, how is your handle?
So me? That's a question for me?
Yeah, that's a question for you.
How do I get involved in
my fights?
Joey famously gets in a lot of fights. How do you see your role as
I mean, maybe three or four.
What is your role as handler?
Well, I think that sometimes I'm like, whatever, I'm going to let you do your thing because I don't really think it's my job.
I agree.
Especially anymore. But sometimes I am like, you don't really know what you're doing right now and you need to just take a step back. So I try to be like, I have to be like, Joey, like, you just need to walk away. You just need to walk away. This is getting ridiculous. Everyone's looking at you. You're embarrassing yourself. You need to just leave. You need to be the bigger person. You're making a fool of yourself. Just kind of along those lines.
Hot seat got spun.
Yeah, I personally don't like being the bigger person. I like going lower, but that's just that's just a personal thing that people don't agree with all the time.
I don't agree with
that. And that's why I have this show at the end of the
day. Yeah, that is why we have this show. Yeah, okay.
Well, you are not only Joey's handler, or one of his handlers, I say. I would like to move into a ranking portion.
Oh my God, I honestly knew this was going to happen.
Alec, I think Alec wrote out the list.
Alec wrote your twinks that you handle. We might miss anybody, but I'm going to
I literally,
some
like,
names.
As soon as I thought about doing this episode, I was like, I know they're going to make me rank your
case. Okay, I will read out some names, and after the fact, we will get to ranking them on a few axes that we will describe. Alec, Joey, Henry, Miles, Lucas, Maxwell,
And just so we know, Alec did include Tygan, but...
But I would not call him
a Tygan. I don't think I would call him.
I think that was a mistake. First of all, are
what
we
about Jason Lee?
Jason,
I don't handle him at all, but we're friends.
But he's a twink. So, sorry, Jason.
But I don't think that I handle him at all.
But I would say you definitely have handled in the past all the other people. Maybe not Miles so much.
Abroad.
So, do you say that's a pretty comprehensive list of twinks?
I guess like that I've handled. I'm friends with more gay men, definitely. But those, I guess, take Jason Lee out, I guess, because I'm not his handler.
No, Jason.
But yeah, those, I guess... I don't handle Henry very often. He has other friends, but he's like my...
He's a baby.
He's like my
baby.
He's
like your baby twink. Yeah. Who, maybe we can do a rank of this list, needs, I would say maybe in this very moment, handling the most? What is the order of handle needed?
It's, okay, so it's...
And we can show you the list.
Joey, maybe.
Joey at the bottom, Joey at the top.
No, I'm just trying to remember all the people. Who needs to be handled the most? Well, I will say that I'm trying to take a step back from actually handling people.
I've
done my work. I'm tired of it. I don't find it to be that fun anymore. I think I did it a lot sophomore year because I was also going through a really hard time, and I kind of found solace in helping other people.
It was some place to put your energy.
Yeah. Now I don't want to do that. So, okay. Who needs the most handling? I will say... They each need something in their own way. Okay, I mean, like, maybe Henry at the top just because he's young. And, like,
and
I don't think
getting himself into
he's
some
getting
waters.
Himself into some situations, which are totally fine. And not that I haven't found myself in, obviously from this episode, I've found
but
myself in situations.
Could you have used a handler sophomore year, do you think? Or?
I can handle myself.
Okay, period.
And I had friends that...
handled you.
No, helped. Like that helped.
Aided and abetted.
Henry first, just because I think that he's young and like he probably gets handled a lot by his close friends that like, you know, I don't know. That situation.
I feel like he definitely has twin handlers.
He does. Then I would say maybe Maxwell, just because he's a little cray sometimes. I love him so much, but I don't really handle him either, but I just feel like I'm sometimes like, what are you doing? Joey, you don't need handling all the time, but sometimes you do.
You have needed handling recently.
You needed handling recently, so maybe I'll put you. Then I'll put Alec, just because that's always gonna... He's always gonna be there. then Miles, because I also think that he like has other people that can help him out with this.
He has a house of handlers.
Yeah, and I also think that like he is in sort of odd situations sometimes, but I think that like at the end of the day, he like is like, okay, it's okay. Like he's like very chill about it. And then I would put Lucas last because he's very stable in at least a lot of the other ways that like these other people aren't. And I don't think that he needs me to take care of him at all. I think that we're just close friends that are there for each other.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Do you want to shout out just at this moment a particular twink on this list that you're feeling? Just, I'm curious, a lot of affection for just someone who's sitting on your heart today. I
don't know. Oh, that's beautiful.
A beautiful birthday shout out.
Birthday shout out from the birthday girl. I think that the twink I want to shout out today is...
And they don't even need to be on this list.
Oh, honestly, not on the list, Bennett Pease. I actually texted him today. So I'm shouting him out because sometimes when I was abroad and I was like out at a party, I'd be like, oh, I miss Bennett Pease. And I would text him. And honestly, we were like friends, but I don't know if we had that close relationship. But I appreciate that he
always responds.
Always is very, very lovely to me. And we still have a great relationship, even though I haven't seen him in over a year.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Well, just to wrap up the show, you know, we do this every episode.
Yes.
Can you rank the LGBT acronym?
Yes. Okay. Obviously, I've thought about this. I don't know. I think that my answers could change if you ask me at a different point. Mm-hmm. I think I put T first, and a lot of people do this. I think that it's just because in this day and age, I think that community needs the most uplifting, and people are attacking them. And so I think the bravest thing that you can do today is to be a trans person. Then L, because I mean, those are my baddies. Like, that's my, well,
is that
I don't know if that's my people, but
it's,
I affiliate with
you
them.
Affiliate with the L's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then
it always gets thorny with the G's and the V's.
I think that
for
I
someone
would
who hangs
do
around so
G.
Many
I think
men.
I do G. I honestly was like, yeah, I would do G and then B, but honest, like, and that is my answer. But I was saying recently that I do find people identifying actually as bisexual. Like, people don't do that a lot now. A lot of people just identify as like queer or like, I'm just myself. I'm not labeling, which is totally fine. But I think that the people who are actually like, I know I'm bisexual, I think that's awesome. And I think that more people should be maybe less afraid of putting a label on themselves. And like, not to say that I'm like, oh my God, I'm perfect. I have a label. Like Loki, just as was explained before.
And
I don't.
Label doesn't equal perfect.
No, not at all. But it's like, I do think that knowing yourself in that way where you're like, yeah, that's me. I'm bi. And like, you tell people that, I think that's awesome.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
And, you know, finally, this is our last episode. Do you want to list your maybe favorite three hot seat guests and then your bottom three hot seat guests?
Okay. Top number one always will be Miles.
Miles, of course.
His episode was so
fully.
Awesome. We had such a fun time in here.
This is my favorite.
My favorite. Jacob Spivak, because that one was crazy and just a lot of fun, and it led to a lot of things that are honestly still
unfolding.
Having
phone
repercussions
calls
today. Phone calls.
Jacob Spivak, just so you know, there's no beef between us.
No.
Beef is squashed.
Three, I'm trying to remember all the people that we've had. Elle was always a good guest because you just are very open about everything.
Yeah.
But I think that, so I think Elle, but one of my favorite moments of what happened was during Alex, which was, he's a bottom guest.
Oh,
he's a
bottom
guest.
He's a bottom.
He's a bottom guest.
Finish that sentence.
He's a bottom guest. But the moment on his show that on the show that we revealed the Tygen plant situation was one of the best moments that we've ever had. And then bottom, Alec, definitely, because his first episode was, he was just really
combative.
And it wasn't great. And he knows that, and he got a redo and he did better.
You don't need to have three, but if you have...
Then, I mean, like, we had Heidi and Charlotte on, and it was, like, fine. And they were fun. Like, they were fine, but they just weren't, like...
No. I didn't have fun with them.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
And... Yeah.
10 seconds.
Chloe's first one was kind of bad. Also,
that was kind of bad. But that was lucky. We were figuring it out.
Yeah, we were figuring it out. It was in the beginning.
But, oh, my gosh. It's been such an amazing experience to have
this
show.
Thank
you. I want to congratulate you.
I'm very proud.
Amazing.
I want to say also...